Let's go out to that Johnson Auto Plaza hotline and talk to former Emmy Award-winning producer for the Washington Football Team in-house broadcast department and one of the few former employees currently on record about the experience that they've dealt with the Washington Football Team, Megan Embert. Megan, you know, give me a quick overview of the current situation or what you actually encountered, you know, with the Washington Football Team.
Hi, Nick. Thank you, first of all, for having me as a guest. I think this is a very important issue that's ongoing, especially for NFL fans across the league. Our journey in all of this began July of 2020 when the Washington Post released a story that included Emily Applegate on record about the Washington Football Team culture. Followed by, when I saw that, I decided I was going to go on record. And it's been about 15 months right now where we've helped be a part of the investigation. We have a law firm, Lisa Banks. It's a big part of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. And over time, we've noticed that the league really has mishandled this entire investigation. They have not released any findings of the report. In fact, they allowed Dan Snyder to get 100% ownership of the team before the conclusion of the investigation. So right now, just to quickly summarize for everyone, we have the Congressional Oversight Committee by November 4th, Thursday of this week, requiring the NFL to cooperate with them to provide all details pertaining to the investigation, all 650,000 emails, to get to the bottom of what has gone on here. And it's now a larger league-wide discussion rather than just the Washington Football Team.
So Megan, I think the bigger question, and I know a lot of listeners and fans around the United States, they want to know, what made it possible for you to come forward? Because we know there's other people besides yourself, but what made you come forward?
Yeah, my situation is an interesting one because I definitely experienced the culture, the sexual harassment, the toxic bullying nature of the organization. It was definitely a place that everyone seemed to be aware of how terrible it was, but I never thought that this would ever become public information. And when I saw July 2020, that story, keeping in mind, I left the organization on my own accord in 2011. You know, I left there at 25, I'm now 35. So 10 years removed from the organization, I was literally in shock, had a visceral reaction when I saw that article posted. And then I knew in that article originally was my former boss, Larry Michael, with allegations against him. So it all became very real to me that this is a moment in time that I can't let pass by to really expose what happened inside those walls and be a voice, especially for those that are too scared to come forward or maybe behind the scenes. And frankly, within days of that first story breaking, I discovered that my department created two explicit videos of the cheerleaders set to Dan Snyder's favorite music, which I believe was at the order of the owner. When I found that out, I said, I don't want to be anonymous. I want you to put my name to this. This is a complete violation, not only to myself and the department that I was a part of, but every one of those cheerleaders as well. So I was terrified to come forward, but I think when moments like this is where the test isn't on paper and you have to be able to go forward and have the courage and be brave. We came forward at great risk to ourselves. You know, there's NDAs involved. There's a whole lot here that we've all put ourselves at great personal risk to ensure that the truth is shared. And right now, we see this as a complete sham, and the handling of this investigation has not been transparent whatsoever. And without transparency, there really cannot be any accountability. We're looking at Deflategate, 243 pages. And our investigation with over 150 people participating resulting in zero page report.
That's very interesting, Megan, that, you know, these issues are not just happening with the Washington Football Team. They seem to be happening, you know, throughout, you know, our society and businesses everywhere. The one thing that I think about, and, you know, talking about you, about the situation that you guys have experienced with the Washington Football Team, the toxic environment, you know, the allegations of sexual harassment, I quickly think about Kyle Beach and what he's going through with the NHL and the Blackhawks, because, I mean, he made some things known about what was going on with him, but he didn't put his name on it. He referred to himself as John Doe. But he said he had to deal with this emotionally for 11 years, and now the information is coming out. For you, you started an organization at a very young age. You're older now. What has it been like for you from an emotional standpoint dealing with this kind of the situation with the Washington football team?
You touch on so many things. Frankly, I think a lot of us suppressed a lot of what we had been going through. And the few of us that have been on record, this has actually helped us with the healing process to be able to share experiences and realizing some of our peers were going through the same exact thing, maybe at different times, or we never knew each other. So I think it sheds light on the fact that in order for us to be able to come forward and talk together, it helps with the healing. I think there's a few things when I look at my own experiences and how it's impacted my life. Some of my relationships, my trust, the way I approach work. I'm a bit of a workaholic. I also have always had it ingrained in me based on that workplace of fear, like it would never be good enough. And I'm dealing with that in real time as an adult. And I think you touched on a couple of things. Kyle, for example, the NHL commissioner has already sat down with him and talked to him. Meanwhile, we've tried to reach out to Roger Goodell. We've tried to reach out to the lead investigator, Lisa Friel. All of them have refused. So when you see Roger Goodell's press conference last week at the owners' meeting talking about protecting us, he's not protecting us. He's protecting himself. He's protecting the other owners. And I think what we're at right now is that intersection point between the Me Too movement and Black Lives Matter, because those Gruden emails shed light on how players and coaches, especially those in marginalized communities, are impacted here too. So it has definitely been a situation where a lot of women, especially because I worked there from 19 to 25 as an intern from college into full time, a lot of us, we were viewed as almost candy in the workplace, frankly. And a lot of us have had some shame or some guilt from our experiences, but we've grown into adults that realize that behavior was unacceptable and we should have been protected. Instead, the people that were supposed to protect us were the ones taking advantage of us in that situation. So I've basically been helping lead the rally cry on getting former coworkers and employees to participate in the investigation and get brave and courageous and basically hold hands here and do this together. And now my call to action is across the board. I want former players, I want alumni, anybody that has experienced this to be brave enough to come forward. I know it's very risky, but at the end of the day, if this is how my life legacy is going to look, then it's going to be something I'm proud of, because I don't accept how this investigation has been handled, and I look forward to a congressional hearing.
We're talking to Megan Embert, former Emmy Award-winning producer for the Washington football team and one of the former employees that have gone on record about the culture and their experience with the team. Now, Megan, I can only assume that we talked about the emotional part associated with this. How has this changed you from a career standpoint? Are you still working in sports, or has this kind of left kind of a bad taste in your mouth?
It's a great question, and it's unfortunate because I had won an Emmy at 24, and the day of my last production, which I gave the Washington football team 6 weeks notice of my quitting, that production also got Emmy nominated. So I left a career that I was doing well at, despite the circumstances, at 25 years old. And one could look from the outside, why is she leaving? And I reinvented myself in an entirely different industry. I work in cybersecurity now. It's a fantastic field to be in, but I certainly left dreams on the table. So the folks that I know that are on record and coming out, we literally walked away from that industry and we left dreams on the table. So right now there's a lot of conversation on, okay, if the investigation gets released or these emails get released, there's going to be people that lose their jobs and all of that. Well, this still doesn't show any accountability for those of us that kind of were either, we couldn't take it anymore. We weren't going to be in that type of environment where literally so toxic and hostile. We see, now granted, this also impacted men, but I do know men that I worked with that are thriving in this industry. They were able to take the Washington football experience and keep it in the back of their head as like, yeah, that was a tough place to work, and then move on. Meanwhile, a lot of us, we literally had to jump industries because we couldn't quote unquote keep going as the NFL's marketing campaign is advertising to women in sports.
Well, Megan, does it bother you at all that this information, especially with Congress stepping in, could impact your lives and careers of individuals on the Washington football team and maybe other individuals in front offices around the NFL. Does it bother you that, you know, their lives can be impacted by this information that you guys are talking about?
So I think if we're actually going to see change as a society, change within the Washington football team, change within the NFL, there's going to have to be a moment of self-reflection and accountability. Not releasing any findings is just protecting the people that were cultivating that type of culture. I'm sure there's a lot of people having trouble sleeping at night because they don't know if they're going to be leaked next or there's some information coming out for them. I think my words for those that are listening that might be in that situation, this is an opportunity to have a shred of integrity and admit when you've made mistakes, grow from them. I'm not calling for cancel culture on the NFL. I'm calling for the culture to evolve. And for me, yes, of course, it doesn't make me feel good when I see that there could be lives, you know, upturned. But at the end of the day, we have to have some accountability for the actions of others. And also, this is a systemic issue. If we're actually going to have change, then you gotta do the root canal on that and figure it out and get to a better place where we all can be proud of and workplaces can be free of harassment and discrimination.
Megan, I want to stay right there for a second. I mean, you bring up something that's really important because when everyone hears this story, they just think it's isolated to maybe the NFL or just the Washington football team. But we have a lot of listeners out there who may find themselves in a similar situation, but they don't have the courage to come forward to discuss some of the things that have happened to them. I mean, speaking directly to them right now, what would you tell some individual, male or female, anyone of the LGBTQ plus community, if something has happened to them, what would you encourage them to do based on what you're dealing with now?
So it's an awesome point, and I feel for it. You're almost bringing me to tears just asking that question, just thinking about the other people that are watching us go through what we're going through and basically begging people to listen to us, and we're not being silenced. I think fundamentally there's a couple of things. One, we were able to elicit the help of the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. This is based on a group of celebrities that formed that after the Harvey Weinstein situation took place, and that organization is a nonprofit that helps with these types of situations to allow you to have legal representation and advice if you choose to go that route. We in no way would have been able to afford to handle any litigation against Dan Snyder, the multi-billionaire, along with now at the, you know, the NFL level of getting the attention. So I would say, look at the resources. HR, fundamentally, there needs to be some type of way to report those kinds of things. But I would say leadership, there needs to be documentation. I would advise people to document their experiences, document who they tell things to do to, just like what Kyle is at the Blackhawks. You know, there's a few people now that they didn't do anything and they knew. And I think we as a society, even if you feel like your voices aren't going to be heard, Try to muster the courage to try to make some type of change. And if there's retaliation, that's against the law. So I think it's a matter of realizing that this is unacceptable. And the more of us that can come forward together and have a support system, like, we're here for you. We're on Twitter. We're out there. Like, we've had a lot of people reaching out. This does show a pervasiveness across different workplaces, where it's just not going to be tolerated. So I would just say, you know, there's a couple of things. See about, you know, talking to your HR department, your management chain. But if you're noticing that nothing is happening, there's no support, or there's potentially a retaliation, then that could be a legal situation as well. And I think, unfortunately, we're going to just keep seeing this. Time's Up Legal Defense Fund hasn't been around very long. It's only been around for 3 or 4 years. So I would say, another option, too, that's never a bad idea for anyone, is therapy, too, because this is not an easy thing. And especially if you go, you know, at bat against a workplace, you know, you never know who has loose lips, who talks about things, who might be talking about you. But know that there are environments, there are workplaces that are supposed to be aligned to corporate values, and that should include diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I would also implore people, if their workplaces are not supportive of that, there are certainly workplaces that are. And that's another thing. You know, we wrote letters to the major NFL sponsors, and we have, it's been radio silence even from them. And that is a shame, because those are massive organizations with a huge employee base that does expect diversity, equity, and inclusion.
We're talking to Megan Embert, one of the former Washington football team employees who've gone on record about their experience with the team and the team culture. Also, Megan is a former Emmy Award-winning producer for the Washington football team in-house broadcast department. Emma, ultimately, what would you like to see happen at the end of the day, right? I mean,
yeah. Congress
goes through the emails. They do their own investigation. They get the information from Roger Goodell and the Washington football team, and you would like them to say what at the conclusion?
Yeah, I think that's an interesting one, and it depends on how the NFL responds on November 4th and then what happens after that. I'm hoping we have congressional hearings. I hope that there's a myriad of folks that are subpoenaed. I'm happy to be there as well. At the end of the day, I think there's a couple of things. Leadership stands at the top. So number one, I don't believe Dan Snyder should be owner of that team. Number two, I don't trust how Roger Goodell has handled this situation. So he's on kind of my watch list as far as he might need to be replaced as well. I think a very close look at the other organizations and how they manage through these situations. And we'd have to see what our investigation even brings forth. We don't know. We know that there were some emails and Gruden was collateral damage to that. But I think this has been a lot of smoke and mirrors. And you're telling me the one person that gets held accountable for our investigation ends up being a head coach of another team. That's ludicrous. Secondary, I think with Congress, I'm looking forward to having discussions with them around overall workplace policies, specifically the use of NDAs. And there should, under no circumstance, someone be held to an NDA in order to silence, especially when it comes to potential illegal activity or things of this nature, sexual harassment, abuse, those kinds of things. So I think there's some legislation that could actually result. And that's why one of the reasons why we were so adamant about hoping to get the attention of Congress here.
Well, Megan, you know, it's been great having this conversation with you. This is a topic that I feel as though it's not just kind of centrally located to, you know, Washington football team or isolated with the NFL. I mean, as you mentioned, it is something that is systemic. It has been allowed to carry on and go through so many different businesses. And I'm hoping that your situation, the news about Kyle Beach and the NHL brings more attention and awareness to situations like this so we can bring this to a close, because no one should feel like if something happens to them, they have no place to go. There's no direction. There's no outlet. So they are there to suffer and deal with this by themselves. And I'll ask you this, because I've been struggling to try to figure this out. Why is it that when a person is victimized in this particular way, like Cal Beach, like yourself and so many others who have laid claim against Washington football team, why is it that those individuals are viewed as being the bad people because they spoke up?
It's a fascinating question. I think that comes down to some of society's stigmas. In fact, I was on a radio show the day, it was right before the whole Kyle Beach came out with his full name and everything. And I remember stating, I really want to see a man come forward that has experienced this. How is society going to treat him? There's stigmas here. I also think when someone speaks out, they're viewed as disruptive when in fact they should be embraced. I think those that view that person as disruptive, chances are they probably need to take a look at their own actions and behaviors. Otherwise, I'll say this, I've actually had recruiters reach out to me from an executive perspective being like, you're the type of person I want in my organization because you have integrity and you have courage. So I think it's a mindset shift, and those that are resistant to whatever the truth being brought to light and pushing for change, if they are, you know, ridiculing and retaliating and all of that, chances are they need to look in the mirror and there's probably some skeletons in their closet, because I have a hard time believing someone would not want a person that is trying to make positive change of an inclusive environment for other people. And frankly, for folks like me, I'm 10 years removed from working in the NFL at all. I've reinvented myself in another career, but it's one of those things where if I came forward because I don't want my niece or my friend's kids to ever experience what I did in any of these organizations. So it would be a disservice to not come forward.
Well, I tell you, Megan, I am so proud of you and so many others who have decided to come out and make their voices heard, not just with the Washington football team, Kyle Beach and others. And I would encourage them to definitely, you know, speak up and speak out. That is the only way that we can change a lot of this systemic stuff that's taking place in the workplace and in our society. So big ups to you and a lot of courage that you guys and yourself, you're showing right now, especially with those NDAs and the fear tactics and the pressure and the bullying that is constantly being put on you guys. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for, you know, being willing to come on the Nick and Cecil show, tell your story, tell your truth, because that's one thing that we do on our show. We pride ourselves on bringing out information, national information, local information, but it's all about telling the truth. And I want, you know, your story to get out there so we can change some of these negative things that have happened or continue to happen in our society. So once again, thank you for giving us your voice and giving us your message.
Anytime. Thank you so much for having me. I just hope everybody that's listening, you know, really rally around us. We need your support. This is a much bigger issue than the Washington football team. And people like myself, like, I don't want anyone else being silenced and being mistreated. I want everyone to know, like, this is enough is enough. We need to make some changes as a society.
Well, thank you once again, Megan, and we'll be talking again in the future.
Great. Thank you.
Appreciate it.